Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, may the same Spirit that caused your word to be written write your word upon our hearts. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. We call tonight Maundy Thursday, and it is the night of the Last Supper, the night of Jesus' agony in the garden on the Mount of Olives, the night of his betrayal and arrest. And tonight we celebrate Maundy Thursday within the larger context of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, as we will do so in the readings of the Tenebrae portion of the service. It's an interesting name, Maundy Thursday. You may wonder where that name Maundy comes from. Well, it actually comes from the Latin for the word mandate. Maundy, mandate. We could call it Mandate Thursday. The reason we call it Mandate Thursday is because in the passage that was just read for us a moment ago, Jesus gives to his disciple that night at the Last Supper a new mandate, a new commandment, and that is that they love one another. Now, if you think about it, there's really nothing new about the command to love one another. In fact, we know that we are taught in the Scripture that the summary of all of the commandments, the tablets of the commandments, are to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. And you know the next one, to love our neighbor, you say it, as ourselves. Yes, there's really nothing new in the commandment to love one another. What is new, at least for this commandment, is the context of it. A new commandment, Jesus says, that you love one another as I, Jesus says, have loved you. What's new is the context of the example of Jesus. In fact, earlier, it recorded for us in the Gospel of John, in the same chapter from which the reading has taken place, Jesus acted out what Robert Weber, one theologian who passed away not too long ago, has called an acted parable. He actually acted out this example. You know the narrative, the story. He took off his outer garments and wrapped a towel around himself, and he filled a basin of water with water and went around to his disciples and washed all of their feet. You know the story. When he came to Peter, Peter didn't want anything to do with it, but Jesus said, unless you let me wash your feet, you can't have anything to do with me, unless you be served by Jesus, unless we let this example be exemplified, to be acted out, we can have nothing to do with Jesus. So, of course, Peter said, well, Lord, not just my feet, but how about the hands and the head and everything else? That's Peter. Jesus said, for I have set you an example that you should do as I have done to you. He said that after he washed the disciples' feet. Some traditions, in fact, I think just south of us, right, down the street at St. Peter's, the Episcopal Church, who will join us tomorrow, by the way, for the community Good Friday service at the United Methodist Church at 12:15. Tonight, I think they actually act that out in terms of the ceremony of foot washing. Now, that's something that, I don't know if Methodists do it, but we Presbyterians have been a little hesitant about going that far and washing each other's feet. But since this is Jack's last time, last Maundy Thursday service, then, you know, what do we have to lose? So, if the whole thing falls apart, okay, we'll just go our separate way. So, the ushers, we have it set up. We've got buckets of water back there, and the ushers are going to come forward, and we're going to act out this parable of washing each other's feet. Okay, you ready? Yeah, I know. That's right. Okay, well, since you're not ready, we won't do it. We'll just pass over that. That wasn't planned, by the way. Well, but they do. That's part of liturgical tradition in some church families. They actually act that out. Jesus had acted out that as like a living parable, and then told them, look, I'm your master, but yet I am your servant. And so you need to love one another after the example that I have set for you. So it came after that, the commandment did, but it came before the greatest, the ultimate example of servant love in Jesus Christ giving his life in love for the world, his death on the cross. No greater love is there than this. One lay down one's life for one's friends, says the scripture. It's not this love that is new. It is the example of the love based upon Jesus' example, and it is the love of the New Testament that we call agape love, demonstrated by Jesus, so beautifully described in the passage that's read at many weddings in 1 Corinthians 13, written by the Apostle Paul. Agape love. That love defines God's self, or God himself, depending on how your tradition phrases such language. God is love. God is agape, the New Testament says. It defines not only God, but it is to define the Christian community as well. Listen again to what Jesus said in giving us this new mandate, this new mandate and commandment. John 13, verse 34. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So not only is it a new commandment in terms of the context of the commandment being given within the example of Jesus' servanthood and giving his life for the world, but it is a new commandment in a way in which it functions. It is to be a defining characteristic of the Christian community. In fact, it was viewed as such in the world in ancient times. One of the church fathers by the name of Tertullian writes this, right out of church history, says this, quote, "It is our care of the helpless, our practice of loving kindness that brands us in the eyes of our many opponents. Only look, they say, look how they love one another." It is a defining characteristic of the Christian community. In the late 1960s and early 1970s, there was a theologian who was very well known in some circles, but maybe not quite as well known in others. His name was Francis Schaeffer. In fact, I wonder if any of us heard that name of Francis Schaeffer, just a few of us. Francis Schaeffer came out of the Reformed tradition, and he founded a study center, a retreat center in Switzerland called Le Brie. And people from all over the world went to Le Brie and studied there with him, and studied, this is philosophy and theology and a number of other things. He was very committed to the arts. Well, Francis Schaeffer wrote a good many books on the subject of what we would call apologetics. That is, how do we defend the Christian faith? I think one of his earliest ones was called The God Who Is There. Well, he wrote a very short little book. Just very, very brief little book. You can read it very easily in just a few minutes. And it's entitled The Mark of the Christian. Schaeffer takes Jesus' words in John 13, 34 and 35, and he adds to it Jesus' words in what is known as his high priestly prayer in John 17, these words, where Jesus says this, "I ask not only on behalf of my disciples, these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us. So that, he says, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Now, Jesus said in John 13, we need to love one another so that the world will know that we are Christ's disciples. Our Christian unity, says Jesus in John 17, should be evident so that the world knows that Jesus himself comes from the Father. Well, Francis Schaeffer, in the book The Mark of the Christian, calls this the ultimate apologetic. The final apologetic, ready, is his language. He says this: our love will not be perfect, but it must be substantial enough for the world to be able to observe, or it does not fit into the structure of the verses in John 13 and 17. If the world does not observe this among true Christians, listen to what Schaeffer says, doesn't observe love and unity. That's what he's saying. Now, I broke the quote, sorry. Now, these are Schaeffer's words. The world has a right to make two awful judgments which these verses indicate. If we don't love one another, says Schaeffer, the world has a right to say two things. One, that we are not Christians, that we are not Christ's disciples, and that Christ was not sent from the Father. You are to love one another so that the world might know that you are my disciples. You are to have unity so that the world will know that Christ has come from the Father. Schaeffer ends his book by saying this, just a brief two sentences. Love and the unity it attests to is the mark Christ gave Christians to wear before the world. Only with this mark may the world know that Christians are indeed Christians and that Jesus was sent by the Father. It's called Maundy Thursday because on that night Jesus gave his disciples a new commandment, that we should love one another as Jesus has loved us. It is the mark, the distinguishing characteristic of the Christian community. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.